This podcast was recorded on Thursday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Republican ad makers may come up with another adjective for conservative.
He's a proven conservative.
A real conservative.
Christian conservative. Constitutional conservative. Trump conservative.
The rock solid conservative you can trust.
A phony conservative you just can't trust.
You can trust us. Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, a civil but slightly irreverent look at Ohio politics. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, a look at the crowded and increasingly bitter GOP primary for Pat Tiberi's old congressional seat and John Kasich's trip to the nerd prom.
But first, we are in the last days of the primary campaign. We think we know who will win the Republican and Democratic primaries for governor, but they appear far from certain right now. First, to the one with all the noise.
Illegals and their drugs are flooding into Ohio.
Who will stop them?
D.C. DeWine voted to give them amnesty.
Trump and Taylor will build the wall.
D.C. DeWine allowed
career politician Mary Taylor is lying again. The press calls her attacks on Mike DeWine false and misleading.
The truth? Mike DeWine cracked down on illegal immigration and supports President Trump's border wall.
Mary Taylor, Mike DeWine, they are not letting up. They're spending millions of dollars on TV ads in the final week of the campaign. DeWine supporters say he is up by double digits, but Stevie ain't acting like it.
And it's hard for us to know. There hasn't been any recent polling, at least public polling, in this race. The last polls that we saw, Mike DeWine did have a substantial lead, but who knows, right? Since 2016, you can't really make any rock-solid predictions.
No.
I don't know. I suspect DeWine is still leading at this point, but we really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying that DeWine is up by 15 points or so, 15 to 20 points.
That's according to internal polling?
Internal polling that folks I've talked to saying he's up by 15 to 20 points, which is a comfortable lead, but it all comes down to turnout. It really does. We're going to use that word again later in the podcast, but it comes down to turnout. If the establishment Republicans come out, Mike DeWine wins fairly easily, my guess is. But if they stay home, if they're not energized to vote in this primary, and the anti-establishment Republicans think that Mary Taylor is their anti-establishment candidate, she could pull it out. I think it's unlikely, but you never know. And obviously, DeWine is somewhat worried. He keeps running ads.
That's certainly not what happens in normal primaries, right? Primaries tend to drive out the typical voter, the person who votes in every election, the quote-unquote establishment Republicans. You know, the person who Trump swayed into voting in 2016 is less likely to come out for this election than they were in 2016.
Well, the primaries do attract the edges, or at least the outer halves of each party. So you're going to get the more conservative Republicans who vote in the primary and the more liberal Democrats. The independents and the moderates, they don't always vote in primaries. Donald Trump doesn't fit the traditional mold, and that's who Mary Taylor's going for.
And judging by early voting requests for absentee ballots, it's a little bit over 2014, not a lot. I mean, it's not in line with 2016 when the quote unquote atypical voter turned out for the election. It appears to be going back to normal, if you will, going back to 2014.
In 2014, they had two very uncompetitive races. Ed Fitzgerald was the hands-on favorite to win the Democratic nomination, and John Kasich was running for re-election. So they weren't that competitive. But Democrats are getting more ballots, which is to be expected, always is the case in midterm elections. Frequently on this show, we ask for the view from Richwood. That's where Steve lives.
That is where I live. It's in Northern Union County.
Republican area, you could say.
It is. No, it's very much. Every yard sign I see is Republican. I've not seen a Democratic yard sign in this election cycle, but I've not seen a Taylor or DeWine yard sign. I've seen a lot of signs for Tracy Richardson, a candidate for state representative. I've seen other state and local candidates. I've not seen a single governor-related yard sign. I don't think this campaign is resonating with me and with my neighbors.
Not a lot of coffee shop conversations.
No, none that I'm privy to. I was in the barber shop last week, which is the cliche place to hear conversations like that. I did not hear a single one. It was a crowded day, actually, and people were talking about the weather and getting their crops and beans in while the fields are dry and there was not a word about Mary Taylor or Mike DeWine.
We got to reach out to that audience. Get them to listen to Snollygoster.
We should. Maybe they do. We don't know. Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. Let's turn to the Democratic side. Richard Cordray is out with a new ad.
You work hard, saving a little each month. It's for her future. For Democrat Rich Cordray, protecting your money has been a lifelong mission. As treasurer, Cordray safeguarded your tax dollars. As attorney general, he recovered $2 billion that Wall Street stole. That's why President Obama chose him to be our nation's top consumer watchdog. As governor, he'll focus on the economic...
Boring. Sorry. No offense to Rich Cordray, but compared to the GOP ads, that's pretty boring.
Not quite as sorted, not quite as targeted.
You know, you don't hear liberals saying, I'm a rock solid liberal.
No, they don't. Liberal is almost a pejorative. I mean, it's...
Progressive is the new liberal.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
But anyway, there is a negative ad out there. This, I believe, is the first negative ad out there, and it's going after Richard Cordray.
Why do Republicans like Rich Cordray so much? He has an A-plus rating from the NRA, and he hurt consumers by quitting his job as America's consumer watchdog so Trump could appoint his replacement. And he's lost to DeWine before.
Here's the thing. While that ad asks why Republicans like Richard Cordray so much, it's a Republican who bought the ad. As BuzzFeed first reported, Cleveland restaurant owner Tony George paid for that ad. He has given lots of money. He can't give any more money to Mary Taylor. He's also given money to Donald Trump. And he is friendly with Dennis Kucinich. A little bit of mischief there.
That ad doesn't make any sense. Why is he? What's that ad do for him?
Well, no, it doesn't do anything for him. It's trying to tell liberal Democrats not to vote for Richard Cordray because he's not with them on working issues and gun control, and he's Republican light.
What's his end game then? So Dennis Kucinich, who would presumably be a weaker candidate against the Republican.
Yeah. It's primary mischief. It happens. It's happening in the 7th congressional district, the Bob Gibbs district. The Republicans are helping the lesser known, underfunded Democrat, hoping to hurt the more established, more threatening Democrat, and it never works. Primary mischief never works. We'll see if this one works, but remember the rumors of Hillary Clinton supporters crossing over and voting for Donald Trump in the primary in Ohio because Donald Trump would be the weaker candidate? Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. If it happened, it didn't have an effect, and we all know how that turned out. So anyway, but Cordray, getting back to his ad, he's staying positive. He's not going negative against Dennis Kucinich. So that tells me that he's not terribly worried about Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, the Cordray ad is bad. I mean, it's boring. It's a really boring ad.
But it's a positive ad. It highlights what he's highlighting. He's highlighting his work, his ties to President Obama, his work in the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, getting all this money back for taxpayers, for folks who are hurt by the mortgage crisis. That's his message, and that's the message he's carrying forward.
We'll see if this works. Still, a lot of people think Dennis Kucinich could still win this.
Yeah, there's a lot of opinions out there, especially from national writers, I think, more than Ohio writers. But from national writers, they're saying this could be is a closely watched race. It could be a tight one. It very well could be. Again, it comes down to turnout. Dennis Kucinich has to really clean up in Northeast Ohio. That's where he's from. He's from Cleveland. He has to win Cuyahoga County, and he has to win Cuyahoga County by a large margin. He needs his voters to turn out. It appears that's what he's spending his money on, is grassroots. He opened up a second headquarters in the Cleveland area. He's not on TV that I can see.
I have not seen any Kucinich ads.
I haven't even seen any internet ads, which sometimes campaigns do if they don't have a whole lot of money to buy the television time. I don't see that. So he seems to be just going for grassroots organization, getting his vote out. Cordray has every union supporting him, which is going to help him in the turnout race, even in Northeast Ohio. So it could be close, but I still think that Cordray is the favorite here.
Yeah, and I think national writers are probably looking for a narrative. They're probably looking to this race, seeing if there is any narrative that develops, and it would be the quote-unquote outside candidate, which Dennis Kucinich has tried to paint himself as, taking on the huge favorite in Richard Cordray. I will say, getting back to rural Union County, I did see four people with the Kucinich campaign at a restaurant event in Marysville passing out literature. So there you go, Kucinich going for the Marysville vote.
He's going for the Trump vote. Oddly enough, he's the anti-establishment candidate. So he says, and he has defended Donald Trump in some cases in this commentary on Fox News. So he's trying to go for that sort of Bernie Sanders voter who voted for Donald Trump in 2016.
Okay, meanwhile, Joe Schiavone has at least one vote.
Hi, Ed O'Neill from Modern Family. I know the last thing you guys want is some actor to tell you how to vote. But when it comes to wanting what's best for Ohio, I don't have to act. I was born and raised in Youngstown, and I think Joe Schiavone will represent all the people of Ohio. He'll fight for the families. He'll fight for better jobs.
So if you turn to Al Bundy for election advice, then you're voting for Joe Schiavone.
I had no idea that he was from Youngstown.
Yeah, our former intern, Lauren Polinsky. Her grandfather coached Ed O'Neill in high school football at Ursuline. It's a Catholic school in Youngstown.
You know, it fits. I mean, he seems like a Youngstown kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not telling him how to do audio, but he needs another microphone.
That's some poor mic placement.
I don't think he's on TV. It's an internet ad. It's kind of funny. I do think Joe Schiavone will finish fourth, though. I think that Bill O'Neill will squeak out a third place finish just because of his good Irish name. I think people just see that name and vote for him and have no clue who he is. So Schiavone's run a good campaign and positive campaign, and he'll be back if he doesn't win on Tuesday.
Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
The 12th District Congressional Primary, in particular the Republican primary, is getting a lot of attention. Now, this is Pat Tiberi's old seat. If you look at the map, it's basically the northern part of Franklin County. It goes into Delaware County, and it goes over into Licking County to Newark and all the way down to Zanesville. Politico's profile of the race is headlined this week, GOP Civil War in Ohio Threatens Another Special Election Loss. Again, national media looking for a narrative, but I think there's some merit to that headline.
Yeah, when I talked to the University of Virginia earlier this year, when a Democrat upset a Republican in that race in a district that Donald Trump won by 20 points, they said that this would be the next big special election in America. And it basically comes down to Jim Jordan versus Pat Tiberi. Jordan is the Tea Party firebrand from Southwest Ohio, and Tiberi is the John Kasich protege who left his seemingly safe seat to head to the Ohio Business Roundtable.
Yeah, there are four candidates. There are 10 Republicans running for this seat, but there are four primary candidates. We have Troy Balderson and Kevin Bacon. They are both state senators. Balderson is from Zanesville. Kevin Bacon is from Westerville. So they're proven vote-getters. Delaware County Prosecutor Carol O'Brien, a proven vote-getter, popular in Delaware County. And Melanie Lenihan, a Liberty Township trustee. She's the one backed by Jordan and the Club for Growth. She is the far-right conservative. And the thinking is, the fear, if you want to call it, by establishment Republicans, is that Balderson, Bacon, and O'Brien will split the established Republican vote, and Melanie Lenihan will win and be the far-right Republican to run against the Democrat, which makes that race tougher to win for Republicans.
And the Democrat they face would likely be a moderate Democrat, Danny O'Connor or Zach Scott. And I can see that being a real fear. I mean, if she is as far-right as she portrays herself to be, she would almost certainly come back to the middle during the general election. You know, the primaries always push people to the right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think she's
not sure.
If she's got the Jim Jordan support and the Club for Growth support, I think she stays outright. She is full-throated support of Donald Trump. And that district is, you know, there's a lot of Trump support out there.
I mean, it's a bedrock. It's a long-time safe Republican district.
Again, it comes down to turnout. If the suburban Republicans in Franklin County and Delaware County and even Licking County, suburbs of Columbus, turn out and vote, then I think Troy Balderson, or who Pat Tiberi supports, or Kevin Bacon, who represents these populated areas in the Westerville area, they likely will win. But if it's a low turnout and it's only the anti-establishment Republicans who come out, and the other three candidates split the, quote, establishment vote, then I see Melanie Lenihan winning this in a squeaker.
Has Kevin Bacon made any jokes about his name? It seems like a real wonderful opportunity for him, you know, just to make jokes about being footloose or something. You know, I mean, just Troy Balderson seems to be getting more pub in this race. But Kevin Bacon, all jokes aside, very well known, at least in the state house. He's a very, very active legislator.
Yeah. He could do 6 degrees of separation with 10 candidates of 6 degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon with 10 candidates running on the GOP side, you know, there's not much separation.
Getting back to the Democrats, as I said, a crowded field. There are seven candidates, again, the two considered at the top, Franklin County Recorder Danny O'Connor and former Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott.
Yeah, O'Connor has the establishment support. He's endorsed by the Franklin County Democratic Party. He's endorsed by Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, Congressman Tim Ryan from the Youngstown area, also former Governor Ted Strickland. He is flooding mailboxes with mailers in the last weeks of the campaign. He has to be the favorite to win that primary. And he'll be a, you know, he's young. He's in his early 30s. I think he's like 32 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be a formidable candidate in the general if he wins on Tuesday. But he is young, so we'll see.
What does Zach Scott do if he loses?
He's a realtor.
Is he?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Because he ran for mayor a couple years ago, lost, and now if he loses this race, I don't know. I don't know if his political career is over, but he's certainly not a hot commodity at that point.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what he might run for if he runs again. But based on his bio, he seems like he's got a business and he's doing pretty well, you know, personally and financially. So, curious to see if he runs for anything else after this.
Let's turn now to our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS.
Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Rockville, isn't this close to Bethesda?
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to Major Tom, help me.
Kasich was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and the next morning he was on CNN's State of the Union, where Jake Tapper asked if he would run for president as an independent. Kasich ducked that question, but said his relationship with the Republican Party is, quote, complicated.
I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me. In my state, we have balanced budget surplus. We're up 500,000 jobs. And then people say, well, Kasich's not a conservative. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to be anti-immigrant, anti-trade, in favor of debt? I mean, what party? Come on home.
It's like the old joke. It's not you, it's me. John Kasich is saying, it's not me, it's you, to the Republican Party.
Is John Kasich a Republican at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, until he's not. I mean, who knows what he's going to do in 2020.
He talks a lot of mess about Republicans.
Yeah.
He's not very brand compliant.
It comes down to how strong Donald Trump is and who else might run in the Republican primary. And if he doesn't think he can win there, he may very well run as an independent.
We will see. I think we're both in the camp that he runs in 2020, right?
Yeah, you never. Yeah, he's running now.
A lot of chance. We're 2 years away, but
he's running now, not officially. We'll see if he continues his run in 2020. Let's put it that way.
And that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. Be sure to tell your friends about us. You can also leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster, which, remember, means a shrewd, ruthless politician.